Blog Talk Radio.
He's the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. You want to holler at me, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And as always, I ask you, if you don't want to give me a call, you're a little nervous, a little shy, hit me up on the email, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. As always, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Your questions, comments, concerns are always welcome. And one of my co-hosts, Mr. J, will always ask you for thong shots, ladies. And Ms. Drama will always ask for the thong shots, gentlemen. I don't want to see neither one. Maybe. and if you... If you just so happen to be listening live, jump in the chat room. I'll let you break. You ask a question, I'll answer it. You know, don't be shy. Hit me up. Let's go. And speaking of going, big on my Saints tonight. I was getting a little nervous there. I was like, won't be watching football this year. But they happened to come through tonight. I don't know why they can't play like this every week, but whatever. I'll take it. Who dat? As opposed to Cincinnati Bengals. This is something I've been wanting to talk about for a minute. Now, Cincinnati Bengals have a saying, which is kind of biting off the Saints. Who dat? They are who they. I'm like, really? You couldn't think of something original in Cincinnati? So y'all, instead of who that is, who they? Cincinnati, y'all suck. I will always root against you just because you've got the hokiest, biting ass who they. Suckers. Anyway, and you're a good football team too, but you got some bad karma coming because you're using who they. Did I say suckers already? Yeah, I did. Anyway, the things that crazy people do, you know, I can't go a week without talking about it, distinguishing between crazy and normal. For example, we have Bedouin is this guy's name. He walks the slack line, I guess they call it, and his dude is on YouTube, and he's posting his video on Facebook about him walking over hungry alligators. And, you know, he's like, wow, all I can say is I made it out alive. And walking over these gators has been a challenge that I wanted to do for a while, but please do not try this stunt. I have had thousands of hours on the slack line and hundreds more performances. This is strictly for your entertainment. To which I quote, I don't think you got to worry about that, homie. Anybody who's seen the video, it's this guy walking on the little tightrope over a whole pool full of gators. Most normal folks, we don't think about stuff like that. That's only for, they call him the daredevil. I call him crazy. Because, hey, if you slip, because you say, okay, let's say the odds are for him 99 out of 100 times he crosses over and it's no problem, he doesn't slip. But there's that one time. I believe it's from that movie Dumb and Dumber, so there's a chance. So it's that one time he slips and falls, and eats breakfast. But shout out to you, Mr. Bedouin, for saying, hey, don't try this at home, because you don't have to worry. That's only for you and crazy people like you. We normal folks, it's not what we thinking about doing. At least I know it's not anything I'm thinking about doing. And I'm going to guess most of the people out there listening, they're not sitting up there. It's not on their bucket list. You know, you have a list of things that you want to do. Tightrope over a pool of hungry alligators. Probably not on y'all's list. I'm going to guess it's not. I'm just taking an educated guess just because. And speaking of educated guesses here, you know I like to talk about these studies that they have out there. Well, supposedly, there's psychologists who are pushing for smartphone warning labels. In it, they're saying that, because, you know, they talk about the labels that are on alcohol, cigarettes, and prescription drugs. You know, your obvious reason. Nah, they always give you these prescription drugs, and side effects are way worse than what they're supposed to cure. Well, supposedly, psychologists and computer scientists over at Bournemouth University in the UK are arguing that disclaimers should be added to personal digital devices so that people will be aware of the risk of excessive use. And I quote the good scientists over at Bournemouth when they say, excessive and obsessive usage and preoccupation about technology are associated with undesirable behaviors such as reduced creativity, depression, and disconnection from reality. And this is from Dr. Rand Ali, who is a professor of computing at the university and the study's lead author. Now, I get it. You know, a lot of kids, and you see it all the time. You'll have folks who you're out to dinner or you're out somewhere, and you'll see people, they're all sitting together, but they're on the phone, and they're not, like, really talking to each other. And you'll have a society of people who can they can have a extended conversation with you, texting or IM and whatnot, but you talk to them live, it's like watching the paint dry. Can't talk live. I guess you can't say what you can say on the device that you can say live in front of the person. But I don't think. I mean, as far as undesirable behaviors, I don't see it. You know? I mean, because if you're one of the people, I mean, because we know that the worst that can happen with your computer devices, your phone, whatnot, is you might send the wrong picture to the wrong person, which I've heard has happened from time to time. From coworkers and whatnot, you'll send that wrong text or that wrong picture to the wrong person. You're like, damn it, I can't take that back, and it may make for some awkward moments at work or with people, you know. But other than that, hey, if you want to be one of them people, Ms. Drama, who are connected to their electronic device, can't move without it, gotta take it to the bathroom, which one of my 24-hour fitness moments, you have these people who they're in the toilet singing or on their device. It's disconcerting. I'll just say that, but. Overall, I guess I don't see the warning label. I personally think that if you can be disconnected from your phone or whatnot, you're just a sucker. no real danger except for you're just a sucker and you can't deal with reality and real people. Even though you are talking to real people, you get live with them and you can't express yourself, but you can say whatever the hell you want on your phone. Sucker. But that's just my opinion. But speaking of electronic device addiction, they have started something really, really stupid called selfie stick aerobics. Now, they describe it, and this is from these artists, Arvita Bystrom and Maha Malu, I don't know. Anyway, they do Celtic aerobics, which is a 5-minute clip where they say it's about radical self-love, and they just have a selfie stick and you're doing aerobics. Yeah. I don't know. I won't say pathetic. I'm just gonna say it's just one of those ideas. Selfie stick aerobics. If you're doing that, if that's what's gonna help you exercise, you know, more power to you. But if selfie stick aerobics is your thing, I don't know. Maybe you just didn't get enough hugs growing up. And I could be being harsh because I'm a guy, and I guess it's a guy thing. We don't quite understand the selfie phenomenon, as you call it. You have people who, you know, you see people take picture after picture after the exact same picture. And I don't hate. I mean, I like pictures. I encourage pictures. People want to send me pictures, you know, smoothdrama.com. I appreciate it, your creativity, whatnot. But I just would ask that if you're gonna take these selfies, what, at least do something different. It's a little creativity. It's what they Burmington talking about. It takes away from creativity. At least be creative with your pictures. Some new, different poses. I know it's kind of hard because, you know, with selfies, you're holding the phone, and it's like it's real hard to like adjust yourself. Maybe you need a partner, whatnot. To which, of course, being the nice guy that I am, if you need help, I got you. You need somebody to take those pictures for you. I got you. But maybe with the selfie stick, maybe this could be a positive aspect of selfie sticks. You can take pictures in different poses. This way, hell, it might not be the same 892 facial pictures that you have that show your face in the exact same frame that it was in the other 890 pictures. Just a thought. Because if I've seen one facial picture, I've seen another facial picture, another facial picture, I give it up to you. Your smile was beautiful the first time. It was beautiful the second time. It's beautiful the third time. But after about 14, 15 times, it's a beautiful smile, but I've seen it from every angle imaginable. Just saying. But for that selfie sticks aerobics, please feel free to email me your selfie stick aerobic sessions or your films, I will shout you out. I will give you that smooth drama love that you've been searching for all your life. So, ladies, gentlemen, if you want to do your selfie thing, I will do a smooth drama selfie calendar. We can just fill up a whole month of smooth drama listener selfies. What y'all think? Let me know if I see the emails coming in of the selfie submissions. If I can get 30, I'm down. If you are, I'll let you boy. I don't think I'm going to participate, but I encourage your participation. And on that note, I think I need a break. So I'm going to go with my main dudes. This is DITC, Digging in the Crates, Drop It Heavy.
America held hostage, day 182, a special report.
That's right. On any beat we sell, don't put your money on Dale. Put it on full scale. Ha-ha, never fail. KRS, I'd rather have 100,000 true heads by me than 1 million of your fake fanatics behind me. I keep it grimy. Chase me, you will never find me. I'll take you out for 2 or 3 minutes. You can time me. You the dopest MC, I'll leave that ass sizzling. I'm giving more rhythms and gang rapes.
But I'm God retarded, ain't no righteousness, and there's hard of us. Hard as diamonds, but I'm in the rough. Listen up, if you ever see me with the feds, you better send the cops. Ain't no stitching nuts, bitching us, unofficial nuts. Everything we outside, you wish it was. Official size in the drug profession, drug connection, drug addiction. Still being a judge for drug possession. The 4 D's, all these is more V's to either get big or leave and let live. We the best that is, CS. Ain't nobody else, we probably dumb. Once we all the way on top of the shelf, I'm locking.
Double it, add the crates, now they loving it. No need to cover it, let it shine like the sun do. shut, none do, but still come through, humble, even when I'm with it, conveyed in a way that sounds so dope, you want to quote and learn to say it, underdog for life, ain't commercial enough to be the favorite, I'm trite, I bite when you bark, so save it, he has to be a masterpiece, imitation, cause he ain't bout it, plus he ain't true, showing ain't the same too, since he first came through, niggas yelling, y'all supposed to rock and blow the spot, I said we ain't too, if we don't climax, we can't blame you, told Shorty riding shotgun, ain't that true, it must have hit her off guard, she wasn't ready, mine was occupied on getting sweaty, we lay it heavy,
together you got to move, drummer, smooth, drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was D-I-T-C, Digging in the Crates. We drop it heavy. You know, here at Smooth Drama, we definitely ain't dropping it light. We drop it heavy. At least every now and again, my balls feel heavy. But that's personal information y'all probably didn't even want to hear about. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number, 347-826-7435. Oh, and for those working members of society listening to the show, I don't know, there's a precedent for you. An Italian court declared that a Fiat plant worker in Sicily could not be fired for watching porn at lunch. So, and it's, if you want to listen, I mean, well, not listen, because I don't think many people listen to porn. Although, I guess you could listen to porn. But now, at lunch, if you're in Italy, you can watch porn. But here in the United States, they have a precedent that's set. So if you're one of them people predisposed, and it's funny, I've worked with a couple of people who could not watch porn. They were actually fired for that offense, watching porn at work. Hey, maybe not during your work hours, but you're at lunch. You got that 30-minute or hour of lunch. You can watch all the porn you want. You have a precedent. So, I mean, Italy's highest court, they agreed that he watched his X-rated DVD on his break and had not let his adult film habit creep into his normal working hours. So, yeah. So, just out there, if you're predisposed to watching porn and you can't wait till you get home, you can get your fix in at lunch. Eat a sandwich, watch some porn, make sure you got some hand sanitizer. Just a suggestion. Take it or leave it. I would hope that you use hand sanitizer. And speaking of that, also the good people over at Pornhub, they, you know how you'll have that revenge porn that's up on the net. Pornhub has made it so that it's easy to remove that revenge porn. You know, like you used to like somebody, and so y'all made a videotape, and they just happen when y'all don't like each other no more, they put it up on different porn sites. Even though that's a sucker move to me, but if you dated somebody who is predisposed to, what's the word I want to use here, sucker itch. That's the word. All right. That's my new word of the night. Sucker itch. You know, those people who, you know, individuals do things. And it was a private moment. It's supposed to be your memory, the corner of your mind, that misty colored, watered memory of the way you were. when y'all was hot and heavy and liking each other. And so we're not hot and heavy and liking each other. You don't want it to be a misty colored water memory just for you. You want to put it out there for the whole world to make somebody look bad. But in my mind, and I'm going to guess most people's minds, it is my new word for today. Suckerage. Just, y'all ain't together no more. Let it be. But for those folks who are predisposed to being a sucker, and those people who have had the misfortune of being with someone who is predisposed to being a suckerage befaller, I'm just making it up as I go, Damon Wayans style, in Pornhub, just in case if you run across it, which, I mean, I guess you'd have to be perusing the porn sites again. So, lunchtime, free time at home, if you know you've made a, since we don't do tapes anymore, sex video with someone, check and see if you're not online as a superstar, a porn superstar in your life. Pornhub is real easy. They're pretty good about removing it within 24 to 48 hours. So just my thing, if you're gonna make a video with someone, make sure that you've already tested. Even though it's kind of hard because you don't know that they have sucker in them until they show it, but just in case you see they may have some sucker in them, and thus they could become a victim of suckerage. Pornhub. I don't know about any other sites, even though I think you'd be kind of pathetic to put up a video of you and the ex. It's some simple Simon ass sucker. I'm moving on. Speaking of suckerage, some of you may know Lamar Odom, basketball player, played for the Miami Heat, LA Clippers, Los Angeles Lakers, where he had gained most of his fame, and in a couple titles playing with the Lakers. And I guess some of you know him for being on that reality show with those people who've never done anything but got jizz in their face, and that's what got them famous. Well, he's in critical condition. You know, he kind of overdosed. They say, one report says he's doing a little bit better. Then there comes out another report an hour or two later where he's deteriorating. And, of course, the said people who left him hanging out to dry, who became famous because they got jizz on their face, they're there allegedly shooting their reality show there while the man's life, even though they didn't want to have nothing to do with it. And I get it, if you want to support the guy, you know, he was part of your family, whatnot. But if you're there and you're doing your reality show, I think you're doing him a disservice in the long term, because they're showing love and then they're capitalizing on the situation. And that goes for the good Reverend Jesse, who just, why the hell he's there, I don't know. It had nothing to do with anything that he would jump on, but I guess just he couldn't help but try to get in the spotlight somehow, since nobody wants to hear that garbage that he's spouting. Not that I care to even say his name. I refuse to say the other's name. I shouldn't even say his damn name. But they're all there. Everybody's got their 2 cents. I mean, not understanding that this is about a guy who has, as a lot of people know, if you know a little bit about him, he's gone through quite a bit in his life. Unfortunately, fame and money and all the other things that come with it have overwhelmed him at times, and he just hasn't had the wherewithal and the backing, support from loved ones that helped see him through the hard times, and so he's relapsed into drugs and other behaviors that not helped him out. And I hope that a lot of the love that I've seen shown for him can help him out, as opposed to some of this other stuff folks film in their reality show at the hospital, allegedly. I mean, if that is happening, and if that's something that gets aired, I wouldn't know, because I refuse to watch that stuff. But if that's being done, I mean, it's lower than low. If you're somebody who can do that, take advantage of that type of situation. I mean, you're below scum. You're the worst thing ever. And as Scott Van Pelt put on ESPN, when they, you know, a lot of people know him from said reality shows, like, nah, dude was an AAU basketball player, pretty famous. He was Rookie of the Year, a two-time champion, Sixth Man of the Year. He was a very accomplished basketball player before he was associated with anything else. So most of us in the basketball community, and even most casual basketball fans, kind of knew him before he was on that show that, quite frankly, as Scott Van Pelt, he didn't watch, and I didn't watch either. Don't plan on watching. So, yeah. And it made me think about circumstances, different circumstances, how men are viewed and how women are viewed. And it was something that it was just in my head. I thought, and it was funny, I remember having this conversation where you can have, like, for example, like, if I'm walking and, you know, women can drive by and look at you, and, you know, I'll say I'd like to think I'm a fairly good looking guy. I'm not gonna toot my horn. I'll let somebody else toot it for me, but I like to think I'm all right. But if somebody passes me by, the first connotation would be, oh, he's a bum. He's walking. Or, like, every now and again, I like to pretend like I'm athletic and I care about my health, and I may ride my 12 feet. On those days, another people look at you like, something's wrong with you. Oh, he's riding a bike. What's wrong with him? Now, as opposed to, say, you have a female. If a female is walking, she gets all kinds of attention. Everybody will stop. There's no negative connotation to that whatsoever. But a guy walking, I mean, you know, there are whole songs about that. I don't want no scrub sitting in the passenger side trying to holler at me. Like, you know, it's called carpooling. if a guy's in the passenger seat of the car, doesn't mean he doesn't have a car. It just may be more economical for three or four guys to be in the car as opposed to three or four cars. Just a thought. People in LA, y'all can carpool. It won't hurt. But yeah, whole songs there. I mean, yeah, of course. When we start talking about music, there are a bunch of misogynist songs. I would be amiss in not saying that. But at the same time, there's a different perception. And I think, ladies out there listening, you know what I'm talking about. You know there's how you would view a guy who's walking as opposed to a guy who's in the car. And fellas out there listening know that men don't necessarily look negatively on a woman walking. Or if I saw a woman in particular riding a bike or whatnot, we don't think like that. It's a different sort of wiring. Is it societal? I don't know. But we know that there's a... It's sort of like there's a perception like certain kind of jobs, if you do that, you're less of a person. Or you're just... You couldn't be as cool as other folks. Like the negativity behind being a janitor. Now, I've known cool ass janitors, cool people. I mean, I didn't mean it. They're taking care of their family. They're taking care of everything. I mean, it doesn't matter what job you do. It's the perception that if somebody they work fast food or whatnot, they're somehow a lesser of a person. I mean, as a guy, you know, you wonder where it comes from. You know, I've always wondered where that came from. You know, I know historically you had the negativity that's associated with being a butler, maid, whatnot, because that was a historical slavery. If you feed your family, why not? All right. That was different. I'm back. Didn't know I was gone, but I am back. But I think we're gonna take a little break here to solve these technical difficulties. This is the Killer Mike Reagan.
For agony and pain, we exploit the
join the gang. We tell them dope stories, introduce them to the gang. Just like our love of North introduced us to cocaine. In the 80s when them bricks came on military planes. A few months ago, I told the American people I did not trade arms for hostages. My heart and my best intentions still tell me that's true, but the facts and the evidence tell me it is not.
The end of the Reagan era. I'm like level 12, old enough to understand that shit had changed forever. They declared war on drugs, like a war on terror. But what it really did was let the police terrorize whoever. But mostly black boys, but they would call us niggas and lay us on our belly while they. They boots was on our head, they dolls was on our crotches. And they would beat us up if we had diamonds on our watches. And they would take our drugs and monies as they pick our pockets. And said that's the privilege of policing for some profit. But thanks to Reaganomics, prison turned to profit. Free labor's the cornerstone of U.S. economics. The slave was abolished unless you are in prison. You think I ambush it and then read the 13th Amendment. Involuntary servitude is slavery prohibited. That's why they get in drug attention time and double digits. Another talking head telling lies on teleprompter. If you don't believe theory, then argue with his logic. Why did Reagan and Obama go after Gaddafi? And pay the sovereign soul going after oil. Taking countries to the hobby, people by the oil lobby. Training in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I'm a tenant John, say they come for Iran. They only know the rich and they know the poor. If I say any more, they might be at my door. Who the fuck is that? Staring in my window.
Driving over them. Now, mind you, vehicles have gas in them. So, one, if you drive over a lit fire with a vehicle, you are taking the chance that that vehicle, with you inside it, mind you, could explode if the fire reached your gas tank. Just one of them things that most people who are not dumb know. So, he's got a van loaded with ammunition. So, you kind of know. The tires, they caught fire, and then the rest went up in flames, including the ammo. And so, the ammunition in the car, the burning car, may add, starts discharging. And so, the responding officers and the firefighters kept their distance until it was safe to extinguish it. See, that was really stupid. You're burning trash in the brush. One. He was like a compound fracture of dumbness. If that's proper, but it doesn't matter whether it's a proper phrase or not. I am making them up as I go. A compound fracture of dumbness. Fire in the brush. The brush on fire because not thinking that, hey, if I'm setting a fire around flammable things, that, hey, they won't go up in flames too. And then I'm going to put it out by putting my car over the flame. See, that's a commercial for Just Say No. When Nancy Reagan, which, funny, Just Say No commercial. Nancy Reagan is just saying no while Ronald is in charge of bringing the drugs into America. That's the yin and the yang of how the government screw you. But that's a whole nother subject. But you have that. This is a commercial for Just Say No. It's your brain drugs. Trying to put a car, put a fire out by putting a car on it. That's a commercial for Just Say No. Just saying. That. And, well, there's nothing else to be said on that. I'm going to move on to my hater of the week, which is this lady. One of the reasons why I don't like New Yorkers. Jennifer Connell, who's a 54-year-old human resources manager from New York, is suing her 12-year-old nephew, Sean Tarla, after a hugging accident. Now, this is when the boy was 8. Apparently, this happened at the boy's birthday party. So, an 8-year-old at a birthday party leaps into the arms of his auntie. She lost her balance, fell down, and in the fall, she allegedly broke her wrist. And according to the Daily News, this heifer, Jennifer Connell, claims that the boy acted unreasonably. She told Judge Edward Stottlink that the 12-year-old should be held accountable for his behavior and is asking for $127,000 in damages. Mind you, the boy's mother died last year and the father was with him. I was almost speechless till I thought, nah, I can't be speechless on this one. This is the hate that dumbass hate produces. right here, when you can sue a 12-year-old, and see, this is the reason why folks want to blow up America, Americans in general, because of stupid stuff like this. You're suing a 12-year-old because he acted like an 8-year-old. What they do, they jump on you. As someone who has several nieces and nephews who I love, and even if they jump on me and make me fall and break my wrist, it'll be all right, because eventually when I have my cast, whatnot, I might accidentally knock them upside their head with the cast. But that's, I didn't say that, but I did. But suing them, saying that an 8-year-old acted unreasonably and asking for money and that, anyway, that is way beyond too much. And you can't get no more hater than that. You, Jennifer Connell, you're special, a nephew, mind you. Yeah. And so she quotes, I quote her, "I live in Manhattan in a third floor walk up, so it has been very difficult." And, you know, it's difficult to hold hors d'oeuvres on a plate. Yeah. Shout out to Jennifer. You are all right. I'm guessing that those people who believe in hell, I'm guessing they're like, there's a special place for you there. They're just waiting on you. Got a seat saved for you. Anyway, I was reading, and, you know, it was something that was on my mind. We started talking about hate, and I saw another one of them studies. You know, I love these studies where they talk about gun control, and then they're talking about guns kill more school age kids than cops. And you know, they quote the, you know, school shootings, whatnot, and throw all these stupid numbers together. And they start talking about the number of children and young adults who die from suicide by firearms, 2,348, 156 from accidental discharge, and 72 from discharge with undetermined intent. And I'm like, that sounds cool, but here's the thing. Guns need a human to actually operate them. And so when we start talking about, I mean, those numbers, I mean, suicide, you know, we know suicide is depression. It's not necessarily the gun. It wouldn't matter. Folks would over-D on drugs, or cut their wrists or something. We know there are several ways that an individual can end their lives. So, once again, I wouldn't blame the gun. I'm just the fact they talk about, oh, the guns kill more than the cops, because they're saying like the cops would be out there just strangling folks with their bare hands, like cops don't have guns. I mean, we know over the past decade or so, into the American historical legacy. I mean, we talked about police, and when I say police, we can talk about overseers, because police are overseers back in the day. That was the name of it. You police killing folks to uphold said law. The numbers are indescribable. I don't think there are enough numbers. It's incalculable, because you have all the people who've been killed by the cops when they were Klansmen and whatnot. So when I see reports like this, it is disingenuous. Because it would be something where they're trying to circumvent the negative impact that policemen in general have had in inner city communities. We know most people who watch the news and just paid attention to what goes on in society as a whole know that there's a negative impact that the police have brought. Now, of course, not all policemen are guilty of bad behavior, illicit, immoral behavior, but we know that there's quite a few who, quite frankly, are not up to stuff. And I hate the fact that you have studies that try to get around it. I mean, we know history is written by the victors. And so you'll always have people who are trying to skew the truth by writing about it a certain way. It's a certain word that's changed here or there. I mean, we've seen it with slavery. Now they call it human trafficking, even though it still exists. It's still the same thing. It's still slavery. Just don't want to use that word. And so they say guns kill more school-aged kids than cops. Like cops don't have guns and don't use them. Like the guns, like, walk up to the campus and start shooting people. And like cops have guns and are shooting people. Oh, perception versus reality. It goes on and on and on. I want to thank you listeners for listening. Of course, you know this is another Smooth Drama production. I am Mr. F the N word, and you know, I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hair.
Where the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.